This from the latest issue of The Week, The Complicated Quagmire of Dr. Seuss, dated March 3rd. Dr. Seuss Enterprises, the firm tasked with preserving the late author's legacy, announced its plan to discontinue the publication of six of Seuss's books due to their racist caricatures. They write, Seuss initially worked as a political cartoonist during the World War II years, targeting isolationism, anti-Semitism, and racism, The Atlantic reports, but Seuss also took a particularly ugly aim at Japanese citizens and Japanese Americans while working for a New York newspaper, PM. Seuss's racist depictions continued as he started publishing books for children. The six now discontinued books portray people in a way that are hurtful and wrong, say Dr. Seuss's enterprises themselves. If I ran the zoo, is one of the worst offenders of the bunch, including racist caricatures of Africans. They describe how he portrayed them in Asians and Asian Americans. Later, the article says Seuss actually grew to become more aware of his harmful images later in life and to regret them, eventually revising Mulberry Street's text and illustration. Asked about it, he described how he changed the image of the Chinese man. Mary Schmeek in the Tribune today writes this, I'll tell you kids what I would do if I were queen and ran the zoo. If I controlled the whole dang show, who boy, the places I would go. I'd make the virus vanish now. I'd kill that villain, oof, kapow. And if I were Lady King, I'd turn the winter into spring. And then I'd hop upon a plane to Mali, China, or Bahrain. I'd go to England, go to France. I'd go there in my underpants. I'm kidding, kids, and I digress. Those aren't the things we must address. The bigger issue on the globe, the one we must dissect and probe. And then, of course, she goes into her take on this Dr. Seuss controversy. She writes, they did not mean that Christmas Grinch whose face is on a constant pinch. They did not cite that rhyming cat, the one who wears the giant hat. They did not mention green eggs and ham. I'm getting to my point, I am. They said that they'll no longer print six books for which they now repent. Six books that stigmatize some folks, that turn them into types and jokes. Six books of which you'd never heard, of which you could not quote a word. And she goes on. Mary, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I want people to read it on their own and do their best Dr. Seuss rhymey to it, okay?
Thanks for entertaining me with the oral reading, John.
And as for Dr. Seuss, she wrote, his work lives on. The best of Seuss is far from gone. But times, they change, and so must we. The more we live, the more we see. So you're okay with them actually pulling these out of publication, right?
Well, you know, I even the phrase pulling them out of publication feels not quite right to me. You know, they're just not going to print them anymore, right? And this is not about banishing books or purging books or telling anyone they can't read the book or read the book to their kids. It's just, you know, after consultation with people who think about these things more deeply than most of us do, they decided that, you know, these six books among the God knows how many books Dr. Seuss wrote, just, you know, contained images that were hurtful, that were harmful. And so they're not going to print them anymore.
Yeah.
That's all. There's no banning. There's no banishing, no purging, no burning, no, you know, no cancel cop patrol.
They're going to come to your house, Mary. They're going to take the books right out of your hand, and they're going to deny you and your children that moment of learning and joy and Dr. Seuss education.
Right, because there are no other books worth reading, right? Absolutely no other books worth reading for children. No other way children could learn to read except to read these six books.
But is that...
I mean, you know, here's what gets me, John. It's like... I can be prickly, too, about what I feel is, you know, some hyper-correction in the culture of, you know, things that were once acceptable, and now they just ring differently, they feel differently. But I do think all of us, especially those of us born in, you know, earlier times, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, I do think that we need to continue to think about how things that once seemed normal and acceptable to us ring differently, read differently in the far more diverse world that we live in. And none of us wants to be shamed into thinking differently. We don't want to be ordered to do this or that. But, you know, I think all of us just need to keep thinking and rethinking the way we speak, what we hail, what we honor. Just think about it. Don't, you know, I can be knee-jerk reactionary, too. I'm a child of the 50s.
Yeah, right. Well, but I think, but I understand at least, and I think maybe after all due consideration, we would all be on the same side. We'd go, yeah, that's offensive, it's not helpful, and it's probably hurtful to maybe a black kid or a kid of Asian origin, and this is mocking them or making them look funny or silly. How does that affect a little child as they've, you know, build their self-esteem? So I'm happy to land there. But along the way, I'm at least open to the idea that people will be defensive when you say, hey, you've been reading those Dr. Seuss books to your kids. Your point's well taken. Most of us haven't been reading those Dr. Seuss books to our kids. But it makes it sound like you did something wrong, like you were either ignorant or indifferent, like you committed some sort of social crime here. People will naturally react this way to that.
Right. And that's why I think, you know, the conversation around it has to be not that, you know, it's not castigating people who, you know, I've heard from some people today in response to this, you know, it's like, I grew up on that book or I read that book to my child and, you know, they feel that shamed or blamed wrongly, you know, and that something that they hold dear, tender, nostalgic is being taken from them. And so, you know, to your point, I mean, I do think we have to be, you know, aware when we discuss this, that this is not about blaming people. And your point of think of a black kid. Think of a child of Chinese descent reading these books, looking at these, you know, mocking caricatures now. How would that make them feel?
I don't know.
And what message does that send to other kids about them, you know?
Well, let me tell you something else that bothers people. So the Library Journal a few years ago wrote about the Cat in the Hat. And while Dr. Seuss's enterprises continue to promote or at least publish The Cat in the Hat, that's the Dr. Seuss book for so many of us. And it's not in this group of six, but they said, look at that character, the cat, from The Cat in the Hat. He's a minstrel character with the floppy red tie and the hat and the white gloves, which you saw people in blackface do many years ago. He's staying in a house in which he doesn't belong to entertain the other people. It's the stereotype of a minstrel show. I didn't know that. I didn't see that. My kid doesn't see that. So if that's how you see that, even if that's what it was, it's sure not how it's received, right? Maybe that's not such a terrible book to read to your kids since that import is lost on the kid and the adult reading it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I have to say, I was only dimly aware of this aspect of the Cat in the Hat conversation until yesterday.
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry I brought it up. I know, but I mean, I had never thought of it that way.
Right, and I had never thought of it that way. But I do think that those of us, you know, who have never thought of certain things a certain way, have to be careful not to just instantly reject when someone says, but, you know, this is the origin of this. Again, I can get defensive on this stuff too, John, you know, having grown up in the time that I did. And I do think there is some hypercorrection going on. But I do think we all need to monitor our reflexive defensiveness.
Yeah. Well, especially at a time when the phrase cancer culture gets kicked around and the instances of trying to silence dissenting voices, that's a real thing. We need to pay attention to it. But to lump this in with that is maybe an overreach, is another
point. Right. And that's part of the problem here. It's like, you know, everybody is acting, you know, like Dr. Seuss has been canceled. you know, Kevin McCarthy, you know, should have on before Congress, didn't he? And, you know, talked about how Dr. Seuss was being outlawed. Dr. Seuss has not been outlawed. These books have not been outlawed. You know, even these six books have not been outlawed.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, because until you wrote that, I didn't go back and read further on the story. But in fact, the books are still out there. Nobody's pulling them off of the shelves, at least not en masse. They are available. And by the way, the value of them for you collectors has gone through the roof. So Mary Schmeek writes, those books weren't burned, they weren't destroyed. So why are some folks so annoyed? Because they like performing rage upon the cancel culture stage. Mary Schmeek in today's Chicago Tribune. Okay, Mayor, nice to read you. Nice
Thanks,
to hear
John.
Your voice.
Yep.
You stay well. Bye now. Okay.